You're listening to KGNU Community Radio. I'm Tracy Jones.
And I'm Nikhil Mankekal.
We're the hosts of a monthly segment looking at the experience of people of color in Boulder County, also known as POCO and BOCO. Today, we're looking at programs that work to lift people out of poverty. Community Action Programs has a solid 30-year history in Boulder County of combating poverty through various programs. Today's guest is Eliberto.
Good morning. I'm Eliberto Mendoza. I'm the Division Manager for Community Action Programs. So Community Action has been around since 1965. We're part of Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty. And in Boulder County, Community Action runs four basic programs that are pretty amazing and help people gain a voice, help them get closer to self-sufficiency. And I'm just going to introduce them really quickly. The first program, and our oldest program, or one of our oldest programs, is PIE, which stands for Personal Investment Enterprise. And it's a matching savings account program. It's what's called an IDA, Individual Development Account. And the way it works, basically, is if you meet the income guidelines and you save $1,000 to either buy your first home, start or improve your business, or work on post-secondary education, you save $1,000. We match that $1,000 with our partners, Foothills United Way, with $4,000 in federal and local funding. So for a total of $5,000, that if you meet all the requirements, take all the classes, there are many classes required, you get that money to put a down payment on your house, start your business, go to post-secondary education. Then the other program that we run is the PEARL program, which stands for People Engaged in Raising Leaders. And that's a 10-week training where we train people of color and people with low income to serve on nonprofit boards and commissions, and of course municipal and county commissions as well. And then we also run a program called Circles. Circles is a national model, actually, that the way it works is we work with people and families who are in poverty but are ready to get out of poverty, and they're willing to put in the work. And they have to go through a 16-week training called Getting Ahead, which we're recruiting for now.
That, coincidentally, I will be facilitating with Crystal.
Great. And then once they're done with Getting Ahead, they're invited to attend for 18 months weekly meetings, and they get matched with community volunteers, and we'll be needing volunteers in September. And those volunteers and the families, there's two volunteers per family, they work together on achieving the goals that these families set during Getting Ahead to get out of poverty. And then finally, we have the Multicultural Awards Banquet. This was started 29 years ago. We're in our 29th awards banquet. And this banquet is the only event in the county that is specifically meant to honor people of color doing amazing things. We have honored over 150 people of color in our community in many different categories, including arts, science, government, business, community service, and others. And youth, because of the contributions they've given to the community. And this year, there's some changes, but we're currently looking for sponsors. And if you're interested in sponsoring, you can give me a call or email me. I'll share that information later.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, Eliberto, we want to get into issues facing the county unique to poverty. And if you could talk a little bit about how the housing situation and lack of affordable housing and the escalating, rapidly increasing cost of housing in the community is uniquely impacting people involved in CAP that you're trying to help.
Yeah, so let me talk about two different little anecdotes, two different perspectives. First, let me talk about this past year we had, and I don't remember exactly, but I think two or three of our PIE clients who were able to save the $1,000, who went through the courses required that they had to go through, and at the end of the program were not able to purchase a home because the cost of the home that they wanted or they were seeking was too high. So even though they did the work, they saved the money, their income wasn't high enough to qualify for the loan. So what ends up happening then is they either get to change their goal. They can either go back to school or work on a business, or they get their money back. So that's one example of how the rising costs of housing impacts some of our clients. Another example is Circles. So we have Circle leaders. These are families living in poverty. Many of them are on what's called a Section 8 voucher, and I'm sure you've talked about that before. Many of them struggle because they may have the voucher, right? Yes. So this is government subsidy. but they have a very difficult time finding a landlord or homeowner that's renting their home or that will actually take the voucher, because the rising cost in housing also, of course, increases the cost of rent. And many times landlords or homeowners can make much more money on the free market than necessarily taking on a Section 8 voucher.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting you mentioned that. This is something I've been pushing within the city, and something the Human Relations Commission that we've been looking at is changing the city's human rights ordinance, which is an anti-discrimination municipal law, to also include non-discrimination on income. So it would include, so that we would be able to enforce that law to prevent housing discrimination based on people using Section 8 vouchers. So that's something happening in the city now.
Yeah. That would help our clients because, again, many of them are doing what they need to do. They struggle, and housing is a huge issue because housing is that primary need that they need to have in order to then work on their goals. It's hard for them to work on getting the education or getting that better job when they're constantly focused on, am I going to have a roof over my head next month?
That's something that's referred to in the Circles model as living in the tyranny of the moment.
Right.
I personally am a graduate of the Pearl program and the Circles program. And when you're living in poverty, a regular event such as your car breaking down is a major event. It's not, we'll just go to the savings account and write a check and it'll be paid for. It's, oh my God, I may not be able to pay rent right now because I have to take that resource and put it into this car, because if I don't have a car, I won't have a job, I won't be able to pay rent. And it's just this horrible cycle of insanity just to survive.
Right.
And the programs that CAP offers, Circles in particular, have enabled me to even be sitting here today. I was struggling. I was trying to figure out how to get out of poverty and was grateful to find the community action programs. And I have chosen to give back because of the impact on my life. And because I went through Pearl, I'm now serving on the Community Action Program board and able to be involved in a program that I know personally. And anyone who knows me personally can see the difference that these programs have made in my life. I really don't believe I would be sitting here today had I not gone through the Community Action Programs.
And is that a common thing you see in the programs? As people come through them successfully, do they then find themselves in leadership positions to give back and help the next people coming up and coming through the community action programs?
So definitely we see. So, for example, Pearl has been around since 2007 or 8. I was actually a Pearl participant myself. I was part of the second class of Pearl before I even started. I didn't even know about community action programs. And right away after Pearl, I graduated board. But what we do know is that about 68% of our Pearl grads go on to serve on a board and commission. And we're trying to do some more longitudinal study and follow up with folks that graduated many years ago to see if they've actually served on more than one board. For example, with me, what the Pearl coordinator did at the time is just a one-time follow-up saying, did you serve on a board? And I said, yes. What the Pearl program doesn't know is that I went then on to serve on two other boards, right? Yeah. So we're working on creating a longitudinal survey to say, hey, what other boards, what other places did you serve? And how was that experience? So we can then talk to our nonprofit partners in the community and say, here's what we're learning from our Pearl candidates or Pearl graduates about their experiences on your boards and how can we improve it? I do want to go back to just one thing that Tracy talked about as far as the tyranny of the moment. One of the things that we talk about at Circles is the idea of scarcity and the interconnectedness of issues and problems. What people may not understand is when you are struggling with poverty, there are many interconnected problems that can come up. And just one thing leads to another. And so scarcity is huge. And there's a lot of study and research out there on what scarcity does. And one of the things it does is it reduces your mental bandwidth, basically. So you can't handle too many things when you're under that amount of pressure. So it's so important for us to help people take some time to step back. So at our weekly meetings, we provide dinner, we provide childcare through our partners, the YMCA, and we provide a time for people to step back and take a look at their situation.
Great. You're listening to POCO and BOCO on KGNU, that's People of Color in Boulder County, a monthly segment that looks at the experience of people of color in Boulder County. I am Nikhil Mankekar.
And I'm Tracy Jones.
And today we're hearing about the community action programs, which for 30 years have been combating poverty in Boulder County. Our guest is Eliberto Mendoza. And Eliberto, one of the things that you were involved in was when the city had its living wage campaign. That came through the Human Relations Commission and was actually successfully passed. We passed a living wage for city employees, and I just found out that the county, Boulder County, also passed a similar living wage for county employees. What are some of the unique issues around income inequality that you see this widening gap in the county and how that's impacting people that come through the CAP program?
Well, again, yes, I was very honored to have been invited to moderate a really great discussion on living wage between those that were for it and those who were against it. And it was a really great conversation. What I see our clients as far as income inequality, the challenge is that as incomes continue to grow, so do the cost of living, so does housing, so does transportation, so do all these things. And then what happens is that many of our clients are then forced to, and there's many people in poverty, forced to take on two or three jobs, and of course that means that their children aren't overseen as much. There's they don't have that parental and child relationship, and that's challenging, and especially if kids are in school. So what happens is it really feeds the cycle of poverty if there is not that opportunity to increase your income and to have that time to be with your children. So that's, for me, what income inequality does is it really feeds that continuing cycle of poverty in our community. I think what CAP tries to do through our programs is, one, help people build assets to thrive through the PIE program, and so that they can thrive and build those assets. Circles helps people try and create those goals for themselves. It may include spending more time with their kids, helps them really prioritize their life, get a better job, get this education. Then Pearl says, once you're there, then let's serve, let's give back, let's serve. Or as you're getting there, how can you serve back? And then of course, the Multicultural Awards Banquet then says, we want to honor you for the work that you're doing.
Right.
You know, so it's a connected thing.
Yeah, these are issues that came up around income inequality. There's a number of approaches to combating it, and some would say, well, instead of increasing a wage to people, why don't we give, government programs, food tax rebates, and things like that. But what you just mentioned is a point that came up at these dialogues is. The impact of, say, standing in line to get these handouts with your kids and, say, the psychological impacts on family and the next generation versus, say, the dignity of something like a living wage and seeing, your parents actually being paid and actually getting, having the time to then spend with the kids instead of standing in lines going to different buildings.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about... some of what CAP does to alleviate the psychological distress of poverty in people?
Well, we're not psychologists at CAP. Let me just make that point. But I think, I think Circles is a perfect example. I think what we do, one of the main things that Circles is about is building community. Mm-hmm. So the way it works is that we bring middle class, or not necessarily middle class volunteers, but we try to get volunteers to come and create relationship with these families. Many families living in poverty, while they may live in high density type of residence, they're isolated. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time that they are around, they are working, or they are trying to put food on the table, or they are dealing with this legal issue or that legal issue, or they're dealing with the school. And so they rarely have the time to build adult strong relationships that give them the kind of support they need to move forward. So again, we're not psychologists, but we believe that if we can build community around people living in poverty with people who have some stability, one of the things I used to be the circles coordinator, and what I would tell a volunteer who was interested in volunteering is, if you don't have any stability, how can you share it? And so we try and bring very stable people, many times they're retired, to meet with these families, to share that sense of peace and calmness and stability, so they can take a step back from their problems, which in many times in their eyes is all-encompassing. So if we can take them, create that relationship, help them take that step back, and together work on a solution, we've seen amazing changes. I mean, it's just been night and day when people start the program and when they get done 18 months later, where they are. They might not be out of poverty yet, but they are way on their way out of it. And many of them do increase their income. In fact, we saw the last cohort that graduated a while back increase their income by 44%. That's huge.
Yeah.
So
I agree. As a launched circle leader, I know that my relationship with my allies was essential. I was a single mom, so it's not like I had a co-parent to bounce things off. And just having the stability of knowing that there are two people that are in my corner, that are not judging me, that are here to help me make it happen, was invaluable. It really, like Eliberto said, it helped me to look at things in perspective. It helped me to step back from the tyranny of the moment of feeling like I'm swimming and drowning. It helped me to just stop and float for a minute and plot a course and make a plan and then follow through with that plan. And if that plan didn't work, it helped me to formulate plans A through Z. So that when something didn't work, it wasn't a brick wall, it was a detour. Let's look at this from another perspective. Let's tackle this with new eyes, fresh perspective. And in getting out of poverty, you have to realize it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you need people cheering you along that marathon route. So having allies and having the circles community not only encouraged me and strengthened me, but it also helped me to be able to build community and then to turn around and reach back and help someone else that's in my situation, that was in that situation. So if there's anybody out there that wants to do something in light of this political situation, get involved. Come volunteer. Come and put your money where your mouth is, figuratively and literally. Come and be the change that you want to see in the community. And community action programs is well established. They've been around for many, many moons. So I would challenge our listeners in Boulder County to get involved.
Yeah, I think what you guys are getting at is, it's not just about, you know, people think of poverty, they immediately think of money, mm-hmm. and the insecurity caused by those issues, but it's getting out of it is so much about the social capital mm-hmm. you build, and the isolation of poverty makes it so difficult to build that. And that's one of the things that impresses me about CAP is this focus on building that social capital with people, because that's something that, like you said, it will take you the long distance.
Mm-hmm.
But Eliberto, if you could, talk a little bit about where you see the community action programs heading in the future and any upcoming or potential changes you see.
Well, I think at this point we want to continue to improve all our programs. We're investing in these longer-term longitudinal surveys to show the community that we are a worthwhile program to invest in. As you know, we are a federally funded program, and so we're always concerned about where budgets are and where the Congress is, and so we're concerned about priorities and how those changes in Washington affect us. And so we're always trying to make sure that we share with the community, both here in Boulder and outside of Boulder County, also show that, you know, Community Action is a worthwhile program, and we do really great things. And so that we're worth keeping and worth saving around, and we're always looking. One of the things that I am proud of Community Action is that for many years we've done all sorts of programming. We're always trying to find how to improve our programs, and when we find a program that isn't working as we would like it to or isn't meeting the needs of the community, then we move on. So we're very, very reflective and flexible in what we do.
Excellent. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about what you're seeing in CAP. People have called it in Boulder County and issues of poverty, income inequality, and affordable housing. When we talk about affordable housing a lot in the city, things have gotten, you know, so crazy that you actually look, you know, you're looking at fairly expensive housing. You know, the definition of affordable housing in discussions has changed quite a bit. But these issues disproportionately affect people of color, and do you have any comments on that?
You know, it does affect. Yeah, I'm sure you've talked about the trends reports on your show, or you will at some point. So the Community Foundation serving Boulder County puts out a trends report every 2 years, and their last one they pulled out in 2015 had 2013 ACA American Community Survey data. And it basically said that in Boulder County, 30% of Latino children live in poverty. Doesn't necessarily break down or doesn't go into the broader about people of color, but in particular, 30% of our Latino children are living in poverty. That's a huge percentage. And that's worrisome. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, Latinos are one of the fastest growing demographics in Boulder County. And if 30% of their children are living in poverty, then they are going to, if they don't have a way to get out of that, they're going to perpetuate that cycle.
Agreed. Yeah,
just to connect the dots with some people, when you go back to housing insecurity and income inequality and the issues of people not, simple things like not being able to spend time with the kids, because how do you when you have, you know, you have three jobs and you're struggling to keep housing for the next month? It affects this next generation because, you know, think about early childhood education and how do these communities of color being impacted in this way have the kids on equal footing and have a chance to then come through the education system as well.
So we do have some great programs in Boulder County. Boulder County Head Start and Wild Plum, they're amazing providers of that preschool education, but they can only serve so many, and there's such a need. A lot of our circle leaders, I know, struggle with finding that quality childcare that can provide what those kids need.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to POCO and BOCO on KGNU, a monthly segment that looks at the experience of people of color in Boulder County. I'm Tracy Jones.
And I'm Nikhil Mankekol.
Our guest today was Eliberto Mendoza of the Community Action Programs, and I would challenge you to support them. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.